You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How?
You sound just like him. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. Our producer, Sean Mapes, is behind the glass today, and we're rolling along. On a hump day, the Astros rolling along too. Now 4-1 on the season. Great game last night in Arizona. Saw some great performances, and it's very early on in the season, but I like what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah, look, this is what you expect. This is who they are. They're going to play against teams that they're better than, and for the most part, even if they don't get an A-plus performance from everybody, the result is going to be like this a lot. They're the best team in the American League, I still think. It's a matter of if Toronto can overtake them, but I mean, even the thing you're most concerned about this year, the bullpen goes 5 innings, and they looked damn good over the course of those 5 innings. And then, all right, Altuve's off to a slow start. Maybe you're a little concerned about Altuve going forward. Is he ever going to be the guy that he once was? Not that he necessarily needs to be, but when you got Michael Brantley still putting on a hitting clinic going 3-for-5, or you got guys like Jose Siri, who have really stepped up with Jake Myers out.
He's so fun.
I love that guy. I really do. I'm curious as to what happens when Myers is healthy again. I imagine Myers gets all of his playing time back, but the way that Siri is playing right now, I want to see him a lot. He's fast. He's a great fielder. Made a great play in the outfield. Showed some power. I mean, shoot, he took Madison Bumgarner deep. And on top of that, I mean, he turned a single into a double. The guy's like a wild card out there. You never really know what you're going to get. He's a little reckless at times, too, trying to steal second base while looking home the whole time. Don't do that anymore. But, yeah, I really enjoy watching him. He's been probably through 5 games the random Astro that I've enjoyed the most.
Fun moments from Jose Siri last night against the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Hey, Siri.
Oh, okay, ball's launched deep to left center field. Jose Siri puts the Astros on the board with a home run. Well beyond the left center field wall, Siri hits his first of the year.
I did not see that coming off of Madison Bumgarner, especially when even though the Astros weren't striking out really, he seemed like he had a pretty good grasp of this game. And you're wondering, okay, well, when's someone going to step up? It's Jose Siri that's breaking the tie. Of all people. That was nice to see.
I think Jose Siri, too, is a guy that, like, I like the rapport that I imagine he and Dusty Baker have. Dusty Baker's an OG, right? He's very calm. He's not very emotional. On Astros bases loaded last night with Julia Morales, he was like, yeah, I'm one take bake. I'm not going to repeat anything for the camera. Like, he's just so chill. And then you have Jose Siri, who is young, energetic, a little bit reckless. I kind of love that yin and yang.
He has a dance. What do you think about it?
I love it.
The bow and the arrow.
Why not?
I feel like a lot of people do the bow and the arrow.
Who's the one that who's the archer? Is that Brandon Cook? Brandon Cooks is the archer.
I think it is Brandon Cooks.
Is Brandon Cooks the archer on Instagram?
It's a good question. I actually don't know who does the bow and arrow dance, but someone does.
Cooks is at the Archer. I don't know that he does a dance, but it's like a metaphor for himself or something. Sean's nodding.
Is he doing it in honor of Hawkeye? Is he doing it in honor of Link from Zelda? Is he doing it in honor of Legolas?
It actually is a homage to Hawkeye, his favorite Avenger.
Is okay. It really?
Okay. No, I just made that.
Oh, you sounded so confident, Sean Mapes,
really
when you
did.
Said that. I believed you. It makes the most sense. The Hawkeye television show in Marvel was pretty damn good. I enjoyed it. That was nice. I don't know. You can work on a better dance than that.
Yeah, I like it. He's still young. He brings a lot of energy, a lot of zest, and some of that spark that I think the Astros need. Zest. Are you concerned with Jose Altuve struggling? I heard Mike Stanton last night talking about how the shortened spring training may impact certain players more than people think. Maybe I'm just trying to rationalize Jose Siri's slow start. Or not Jose Siri, Jose Altuve's slow start. What say you?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm panicking because I know I'm the most overreactionary baseball person that is in this city probably. And I'm glad that our regular listener Warren called me out a little bit earlier saying it's five games. He had a career high in homers last year. Give Jose Altuve some time. But I do think that the conversation that the Killer Bees had yesterday, Jeremy Branham and Joel Plank, about whether or not Jose Altuve is still in his prime is one worth having. He probably isn't, and that's not the end of the world, and that's not a deal breaker for the Astros either. He can be a good player for them. He doesn't need to be the MVP. But I think that that conversation started because they were talking about, all right, well, who's the most likely Astros MVP this season? And they were talking about Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, obviously. Maybe you say Jordan Alvarez, but he's a designated hitter. Whatever the case, I don't think Altuve's at the top of the food chain on that front anymore. Again, we're talking about a guy who was hitting like 340 for 4 years in a row and leading baseball in hits. So to say that he is not on that level anymore as far as being perhaps the best hitter in baseball, that's not a problem. But is he going to be, when he gets back up to speed, the same guy that we're 100% used to? Like, maybe his career develops in a different way. Maybe he's more of a power hitter guy as opposed to that guy that you constantly depend on to start off your lineup with, getting on base or putting the ball in play.
Wear and tear is different on everybody's body, right? So like you brought up earlier, Michael Brantley isn't really feeling that difference, but Jose Altuve is almost 32. He turns 32, and Jose Altuve is younger than you.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
You didn't need to rub it in like that.
No, I just am surprised.
Oh, no, no. That felt personal,
no,
Vanessa.
You look young. You realize that's a compliment.
I
tried to spin that as best as I could. Yeah. Dusty Baker saying after the game, too, because the game was 2-1, basically, you got to win a few close ones when you have kind of a lack of that offensive power for the first couple of innings. But I liked what I saw. I think this is going to be a good Astros team. Look, I know everybody misses Correa. That's just the reality now.
Yeah.
But I think that they're going to scrap together some really good wins. No Yordan Alvarez last night due to an illness. Concern, not concern, doesn't seem like it's anything long-term.
Scottsdale flu. That's my hot take. I'm sticking with it. Scottsdale's fun.
For those that don't know, Paul likes Scottsdale. And the funny thing is that when I say I like Phoenix and Scottsdale, I mean I like hiking, I like being by the pool.
I like going on Bumble in Scottsdale.
Restaurants. Paul likes the young blondes at Arizona State University.
It doesn't have to be blonde. I don't care about hair color. Just like attractive people. What's wrong with that?
You like young, attractive people.
Well, they could be young, they could be old. I do not discriminate based off of age.
Okay, so you would date older women.
I've dated a 40-something-year-old before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, like 5 years
ago. That.
Yeah. Listen, the number does not matter to me. It is legitimately shallow that I am. Are you hot? You could be terrible. You could steal my social security and my passport. And if you're hot, I probably would look the other way for a little bit of time because I'm a pushover on that front too.
Yeah, and once you have them, you don't want them anymore.
No, but I don't. Very true. Very true. I remember nothing ever hit me more than watching that episode of Scrubs where JD is pining for Elliot and he wants her so bad. And then he finally gets her to break up with Sean. And then he's like, I don't want her anymore. And I'm like, been there, fella. Been there.
Healthy relationships, definitely a priority on Vanessa and Galan, and I could talk, but then I'd be a hypocrite. But the Astros getting the win in Arizona last night. Of course, they have their home opener April 18th, right?
Yeah, it's
I mean,
a long
it's just a
road
long
trip.
Road trip to start.
And now they're going to, I mean, look, I don't want to sound like a little whiny baby, but I would like them to play a game that doesn't start at 8:40.
Yeah, when the post-game show is ending at the next day at 12:20 a.m., you know you have an issue.
I mean, look, can't they compromise? Like, look at some of the start times that we've got coming up this weekend. Friday, 8:42. Piss off, Seattle. Come on, I thought we were friends. 8:10 on Saturday. I guess that's not the end of the world because it's a Saturday, but I would like to get some 7 o'clock games coming. And I guess we will have a very long stretch of 7 o'clock games
coming up. Let's ask Galan anything.
That
somebody on Twitch says this is why we need to bring back Ask Gallant Anything.
On Fridays back at the other station, I used to just say, all right, like, hey, I'll talk about things, but since it's Friday night on the radio, I would essentially just throw out the rundown and say, like, you ask me anything and I will answer it honestly.
Seems dangerous.
It is dangerous. I don't think we could do it from 10 to noon. I don't think we could do that anymore. I mean, I was saying some horrible things, being asked some really good questions. And I don't think that my boss listened, so it was great. You know, there was never any blowback. It's a little different when you got the ears of the boss man on you.
Yeah, we won't go into that, but that was it's interesting to know that was a segment.
We have Terry calling in 713-780-3776, and he wants to talk about the bow and arrow. Terry, explain the significance of the bow and arrow of Jose Siri.
Okay, first off, condolences to Vanessa.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
So the whole bow and arrow thing, if y'all don't remember, Deshaun Watson used to do that in Clemson.
Oh,
and then when he got to the NFL, they outlawed it. Oh. But the whole time, Cooks never stopped doing it. I don't know if he got fined for it, but I know he never stopped.
I mean, but it is a violent...
There's been a lot of people doing it in the NFL, but Siri's the only one in baseball.
You know, Terry, the way that you described it, it's good that someone stepped in because it's a violent act, you know? I mean... Bow and arrow violence is a major problem in our country. It is. You can't
throat slash. You can't do fake guns.
No.
You can't do bow and arrows.
I mean, I'm
the
offended.
Logic
it all makes sense.
I'm offended. Like, I mean, you know, I haven't personally gone through this, but one time I read on the internet, like, someone got shot in the face with a crossbow. Like, they were fine. It, you know, they just had one eye the
Meanwhile,
rest of their life.
Meanwhile, Dan Snyder can still own a team.
Yeah.
Things are going really well in the NFL. if things are not going well for you with your home insurance, listen up. Our friends at TGS are going to deliver big savings, and it's super easy. You know you're paying too much, but you probably don't shop for home insurance because it's a huge hassle. No longer, my friends. Thanks to TGS, they have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, gives you a full quote in only 15 seconds, and all you have to do is send a single text. So get your phone out. Text MONEY to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address, send it back, and you're going to get a great quote within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. The online rating, nearly perfect. And their average customer from last year is saving $870. So I know you don't like to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only a text away from big savings. One more time, listen, text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Hey, we have a little bit of football news. Nothing huge, kind of expected, but Derek Carr agreeing to a 3-year deal with the Raiders. So it's 3 years, $121.5 million. And here's the catch. He got that no-trade clause.
He got a no-trade clause, too.
He got the no-trade clause. This is via Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofolo of NFL Network. We knew he was sticking around because his college buddy from Fresno State, Devontae Adams, is there. This is a good deal. I mean, it's nothing. It's nothing too crazy. But the no-trade clause, guys, is that the Deshaun Watson effect?
I suppose.
Slash Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that's probably going to be something that happens with quarterbacks going forward. I think Carr was sick of the last couple of years, and I don't blame him for it. Look, he's, I think, a good on his best days quarterback. I would not ever feel 100% settled down with him if he were my guy. You know, he's someone that I always think I could do better than. He's like basically exactly what the dating apps make you bad with. It's that you always think you can do better. With Carr, you will always think you can do better. But
sounds like a issue you may have.
It is 100% an issue I have. At least
good
I
boy.
Know it, but listen, it is an
Working
issue.
On it.
Derek Carr's contract, as far as the guaranteed money, is what I am most curious about, Vanessa. And usually when the deal first comes out, you don't see any of it. I would think that if they got him a fully guaranteed contract, and this is just me thinking right now, and I can't see it in front of me, but I would think that if that deal came out, that the agents would 100% make sure that the people reporting the contract would say fully guaranteed. But for Carr, who's dealt with a lot of BS the last couple of years, mainly because John Gruden, who I've always thought was an overrated
Awful.
Coach and not exactly the best people person either,
misleading. I know that was something that he was termed as. When I was growing up in high school in Tampa Bay, I remember like sports talk radio. It was always talking about like how Gruden's kind of a fraud. Like I feel like I was in on this before. Well,
there's
everyone.
A reason that no coach has defended him, by right. the way. Like usually when somebody makes a mistake that those egregious and says those things,
no
you hear
up.
People that say, well, he had a bad choice of words. Yeah. But he's different in person. He's not that bad of a guy. I didn't hear that one time.
Nope. And it's funny. I mean, Daniel Snyder investigation, John Gruden gets canceled and he's gone. But it's good for Derek Carr. And I'm curious to see what he'll do with Devontae Adams. It did feel like it was a much more positive environment for him this past season with Rick Bisaccia as the head coach. Mm-hmm. And if you put in Josh McDaniels, maybe you don't have the same kind of momentum that you had towards the end of last year, because the Raiders finished the season, I thought, on an incredible run. Obviously, they somehow like snuck past the Colts and into the playoffs. But I feel like with McDaniels, I'm actually not sorry. I hate the Colts. So why am
I
saying? I'm a hater. But with McDaniels, I'm curious to see what'll happen. But I'm wondering, like, is there guaranteed money? Have you been able to figure that out? Because usually this would be put out at this point in time.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but okay. I imagine that we're going to get those details today. And probably if we took a hard look at NFL Network, we'd be able to find that info. But Raiders safety Daron Harmon, I thought, had a really interesting comment on Good Morning Football this morning. He said new head coach Josh McDaniels, quote, "He's trying to create a culture that is not the Patriot way." Raider safety Daron Harmon.
Huh.
He's trying to create a culture that is not the Patriot way.
So he's literally doing the opposite of what he did in Denver.
Right.
Okay.
So are we going to see Josh McDaniels, quote unquote, come into his own? I always wondered why he left New England when it seemed like, do you remember when he blew off Indianapolis, that the assumption was that it's because he was the heir apparent.
I always thought, and I could be wrong on this, but I figured, especially with hindsight, the benefit of that, I figured he found out that Andrew Luck was maybe wavering on whether he wanted to play going forward, and maybe something was wrong with his shoulder. And I also just thought it was hilarious that you know the Colts with the Deflategate BS, like that the Patriots got one back on it. It was great.
I think it worked out for them.
Did it? Your quarterback is now. Well, I mean, last year your quarterback was Carson Wentz.
Yeah, I don't know. There,
Matt Ryan though,
having
he'll get it done.
A generational quarterback blow you off like that is gonna. Have a decade effect.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Do you feel like you were blown off by Andrew Luck? Or do you
when you retire after a preseason game, yeah, and you don't give the team time.
Fair enough.
Fair
enough.
Yeah, actually.
Fair enough.
But I'm not emotional about it at all. It's fine, which leads me to our next segment.
Whoa.
It's brand new.
Vanessa's mad.
Wine Wednesday. Wine meaning W-H-I-N-E.
But no actual wine? I
no
drink wine before
wine.
Noon.
I know
fine.
You would drink wine. You would drink wine at any time of the day.
Like
you
Cersei
drink
Lannister.
With breakfast. Wine Wednesday.
I mean, mimosas, wine.
Mimosa, it's champagne, right?
Kind of a version of wine. Made from grapes.
Alcohol is all the same to Paul Gallant. Kind of like the girls in Scottsdale.
Oh.
So, on this segment, we're going to invite you guys to whine about something. It certainly does not have to be sports related that is really bothering you. Something that you can just do a little quick rant. Feel free to tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He's at Gallant Says. You can obviously text the text line as well or get at us on Twitch. Here's my whine.
Whine. Whine, Vanessa. Whine.
Why is adulting so hard and so complicated? Here's what I have to do this week alone. To get new tires because the Houston roads messed up. And put a hole in one of my tires.
It was the Houston roads. It wasn't you.
No. It was a nail that was in my tire. This is like the third time it's happened.
Oh, a nail in your tire?
Yes.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it happens often. Houston is ranked as one of like worst cities for roads.
I know that the pothole thing, that's definitely a problem.
New and tires, expensive.
They are.
Here's what else I have to do this week. Taxes.
Oh, I haven't done those yet.
What?
No.
The third thing, my driver's license expires. I still don't know what the difference between a driver's license and an ID is.
It's the same thing. It's still the same thing.
But online, it says, do you want to renew your driver's license or your ID?
You know what? In your defense, that website for the Texas DMV and DPS, which are two totally different things.
Don't get it.
It is the most confusing website that I've ever been to. And you know what? While we're on Wine Wednesday, so I got to go to the DMV later today before I can get a new license, I have to get out-of-state registration. But I can't do both of these things in the same place. I just think it's ridiculous I can't do both. And I also think it's ridiculous that you can schedule an appointment at the DPS, but you can't schedule an appointment at the DMV. So I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to sit there and wait in line.
Makes no sense.
Thank goodness for cell phones in 2022, because otherwise it would be absolute torture.
It's awful. Being an adult is awful.
It's hard. And it's... imagine having kids on top of that. Because the people with kids right now that are listening to us, they have zero sympathy for
us. No, they don't. But I don't. And I don't understand how people do that anymore.
I don't either. I'm like, geez, I can't do this.
Like, at the end of a work day, have a person that needs you to cook dinner and pay attention to them?
That's a great question. Some would argue that your significant other could be like that too. And I'd be like, yeah, that's too much. Too much commitment.
What's your wine Wednesday, Paul?
My wine Wednesday. Well, I talked about it in the last segment. What is up with all of these stupid West Coast games? Screw the West Coast. Cut it off the West Coast of the United States. All they do is give us a bad rap with all the Antifa stuff. Can we just get can we just sell the West Coast for like $20 to Canada or something like that? Please. Like, all I hear are, like, stories that are like, oh, wow, censorship stories. Oh, wow, people being restricted stories. And then on top of that, we got to start baseball games at 8:40 so that they last 4 hours to go watch some team from Arizona who sucks, or to watch some team from Los Angeles who isn't even good, that no one cares about, but we got to wait up till 8:40. How about you start the game early? No one cares about the Angels in Los Angeles. Sure, the Orange County does. I hate these 8:40 start times. Thank goodness that we only have like three more. I think there's just the two coming up against the Seattle Mariners. And since today's game against the Arizona Diamondbacks is an early one, we're almost done. But this is not a fun way to start off the baseball season. You're the defending American League champs, and you go on the longest road trip of the year before you get to play your home opener. And they're all West Coast games. Bleep that.
So you should think that it should be based around, like, as a country, Eastern time?
No, Central. Central time is the best time zone.
And you're not just saying that because you live here.
No. I've lived on East Coast time.
Mm-hmm. You're from Boston.
Right, I'm from Boston originally. So, and in Florida also, East Coast time too. It is, things end too late from a sports perspective. Central time is perfect. Pacific time, a lot of people would argue, is the best, but I'm not a morning person by any means. And I don't, I mean, well, I mean, if you know me, like, you're Paul, what are you doing late on a Saturday night? Not going to bed early, and to get up on the West Coast to watch a college football game at 9 in the morning
was a chore,
especially if you're getting up at 5 in the morning every single day to do the morning show. I was like, no, I need one day to sleep in. So Central time is where it's at. Wine Wednesday, everybody.
That's Wine Wednesday. Hey, give us your wines, your best wine, and it can be about anything, not even involving sports. Okay, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we hear from the Texans quarterback, and also, how do you feel about celebrating when it's just a play-in game for the NBA? That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
8664 says, I want to whine about why breaking news of any kind always interrupts my recordings of The Young and the Restless. Break it at 2 p.m.
Hell yeah.
I like the passion.
Young and the Restless has a banger of a theme song, too.
Yeah, I don't really watch soap operas.
I remember it just being on television when I was growing up, when you didn't have a lot of options. I don't know if my mom watched Young and the Restless religiously, but it's got this awesome theme song. It's just a piano in the background. Dun, 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 dun. And the synth hit. It's like,
I'm really getting a feel for it.
You're welcome.
I can't take it.
I'm a musical genius.
You are. Hey, so Davis Mills met with the media yesterday, and we never get a lot from Davis Mills.
Oh, well, understatement. We never get anything from Davis Mills.
Davis Mills has that Stanford, like, he's just not going to reveal anything. You can tell he's been media trained.
Well, has he been media trained, or is he just another version of Tiger Woods where he's borderline awkward?
Here's what he said yesterday when he met with the media. This is quarterback one, Davis Mills, heading into his second year with the Texans.
I'm definitely comfortable. I think the biggest thing with being a leader for the team just starts with showing up every day, showing the team that you're here to put in work. I think people mention a lot just the quarterback's role as a vocal leader, and I mean, I think that comes with the position, so I've been doing that my whole life. So I'm ready for that challenge and that standpoint of it, but I mean, the biggest thing is just going out and showing up every day, meeting rooms, weight room, on the field, and gaining the respect of my teammates so I can really take on that role.
A lot of cliches.
Yeah.
Very even-keeled. I don't want to be too hard on him. We're having
no,
fun
I like
here.
Davis Mills.
I feel like he deserves a lot of room to grow. Maybe he will feel a little bit more comfortable showing his personality to us. But again, like we're talking about a guy in front of a podium. But at the same time, Vanessa, is there not a large contingent of Texans fans that look at him right now and they are just underwhelmed by him? I think part of it might be something that has to do with the fact that he was a third-round pick. I think another part of it might be that he's not particularly flashy. He's not that exciting, especially in comparison to Deshaun Watson. I also think there's a little bit of a racial dynamic to it. I think some people are like, oh, look at this boring white guy, quarterback and stuff. So what can we do to jazz Mills up? A Mills makeover!
Mills makeover on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Here's the thing. I think he is what he is as far as personality.
Okay.
But there are certain things like, you know, could the Texans do some personality segments with him?
I don't think you want to force something.
Okay, so what would your Mills makeover be?
Okay, so first off, look, I realized this way too late in life that nobody gives a crap where you went to school.
Oh.
I used to be way too proud of Syracuse.
Oh, I know.
Way too proud of it. I probably still am. And honestly, in retrospect, it is a bit embarrassing, especially considering I didn't really get along with most of the people that I was in the same majors with. So I feel like when you're wearing a Stanford shirt out to your press conference, nah, got to get rid of that. Got to jazz it up a little bit. Now, look, he's got a little lettuce going on the chest, okay? I have no problem with that.
Wow, even I haven't noticed that, and I'm a woman.
Oh, I'm just looking at the shirt he was wearing.
Chest hair?
He had a little chest hair sneaking its way out. I feel like he should go for a mustache. I feel like he probably can grow a mustache entirely based off of that. I think go for a mustache and go away from being like Andy Bernard and wearing a Stanford shirt to show where you went to school. That's it. That's my one step forward. Like, be a little more exciting. Do people actually think Gardner Minshew is a good quarterback, or do they like the fact that he has a mullet, a mustache, and wears jorts? It's the latter. He's a brand. I'm not saying Mills has to go all in with the Minshew mania. I'm just saying a little bit more character.
Pizzazz.
Flair.
I feel like the Texans could do segments with him where he like tries new restaurants or does something that like is not forced, but at least shows us that he has personality.
This tastes like food.
No, but I mean like, oh, I like ravioli, like at an Italian restaurant. Oh,
okay.
Ravioli's my favorite.
I like nutrients in my body. You know, that Stanford, I was taught to have as many nutrients as possible.
I think Davis Mills, here's the thing, winning cures all. So if he can win more games
than
Deshaun
Watson. Oh, yeah,
he can
be the most boring person alive. I'm just saying for now, because I know there's a lot of people that are still like, oh, I don't know. And I'm sort of in that same conversation, but mainly because generally a young quarterback, the answer is probably not. I would like to see a little bit more flair up there, especially given that I watched that whole press conference. And I kept on rewatching. I was like, did I miss anything? No? Oh, okay.
You know what he does a lot of? He does a lot of actually what Bill O'Brien was known for, which is listing. Bill O'Brien would just list. Like you would say, you know, I would ask, somebody would ask, well, how have you seen the Texans improve, whatever? And he'd say, you know, I just think that when you look at the whole team, when you look at J.J. Watt, when you look at Deshaun Watson, when you look at the locker room, the upgrades to the facility, the cafeteria, the weight room, it's nutrition. And Bill O'Brien would just start like listing things.
Yeah.
Davis Mills is a lister.
That's how you filibuster.
Yeah.
That's how you successfully take time up while you're trying to think up something. We do this in radio all the time. Sometimes you can't find something right in front of you. Vanessa, I'm upset about something that took place last night.
Okay.
The world came after my hero.
Mm.
The greatest Houston Rocket in the history, and by in history, I mean during the time that I was covering the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Patrick Beverley is my favorite Rocket ever. I do not care what you say about James Harden. You can go to hell if you like him more than Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley came over from Russia, was not supposed to be anything on the Rockets, supplanted the wildly overrated Jeremy Lin, who everyone liked because he played well in New York for a month, took over, and did it by being intense, passionate at all times. And last night, in the NBA's play-in game, when the Minnesota Timberwolves beat the Los Angeles Clippers, a team he played for not too long ago, he got extremely emotional. And everyone was coming after him for it. And I feel like,
Why are we coming after a guy for being excited after winning a game? The Minnesota Timberwolves were the 13th seed in the Western Conference last year. This year, they made it to the playoffs, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that Beverly is there, and there's a different level of, I think, intensity that's there. They're not going to do anything this year, but people were roasting him for getting excited last night.
Inside the Shaq and Charles Barkley, that whole crew, they were roasting them. They came in, they bumped in with We Are the Champions because they were acting like Patrick Beverly was acting as if they had just won the championship.
You know what, though? For Minnesota, for the Timberwolves, that is the championship. They're one of the worst teams in basketball history. They're horribly run. And Beverly gets up on a table. He's getting in the crowd.
He was on Instagram, too. I mean, this man was – he was not just the post-game interview.
Yeah, do you want to hear what he had to say on Instagram?
Please do. Let's do it.
Oh, I love this. This is fantastic.
Did nobody believe me. We gas Clippers. Beat they motherfucking ass. Out of here.
Hell yeah. This is why I love Beverly. Yeah. He's 100% all the time. And why are we making fun of this? In a season that has way too many games where guys don't even play in games, what is wrong with someone being excited about winning a playoff game against the team that he felt disrespected him, that traded him to Memphis, and he got traded to Minnesota? That's the equivalent of NBA Siberia. Of course he's going to be pumped that he, along with the Minnesota Timberwolves, shut up stupid playoff P and that Clippers team, which has been the epitome of soft for years. He should be proud of that. And the worst part about this yesterday, Vanessa, was to see LeBron James tweet out, like, laughing emoji, laughing emoji, laughing emoji.
Oh, God.
You didn't even make the playoffs, loser. Keep that same energy, huh? Are you laughing at yourself, too, for underachieving with the all-star team of geriatrics? You should be. You should
One
be laughing at yourself, too.
That we tend to do in sports, and the general public does this for every sport, is they say that they want emotion. They say that they want authenticity from players. They say, we don't want your PR answers. We don't want statements from your PR team. We don't want letters and tweets issued by your agent. We want the real fill in the blank. And then when you get the real Patrick Beverly, when you get the raw emotions of beating the team that abandoned you and embarrassed you, and when we get that authentic reaction, people critique it. I don't get it.
I don't either. Winning is fun. And we, like, act like we're too good for specific wins? That I just don't understand. There is absolutely nothing wrong with playing with that kind of passion. That guy gives a damn more than just about anybody out there. And that's why he came over from Russia and he succeeded in the NBA. And I'm so happy that I got to cover the guy. I know he has no idea who I am and probably thinks I'm a weirdo cultist.
He probably loves you.
But I am obsessed with this man because he cares. He is exactly the kind of person that you want to have on your team. Is he a great player? I joke when I say he's the greatest Rocket of all time.
Yeah,
I know he's not.
Yeah.
Some people got mad at me for tweeting this out.
Yeah.
It's like, well, come on. You know who I am.
The internet needs a sarcasm font faux show.
I love players like this, specifically in basketball, agitators who care. He is so damn passionate about this sport. And that people were making fun of him last night, like, legitimately angers me. What is wrong with him being excited about a win over a team that actually spurned him? This was personal to him. Why can't he take it even more than personal? This is a big moment for the Timberwolves. They stink. They always have stunk. Why not be proud of it? Why not be excited about it? And LeBron and the Lakers, like, laughing at it. Like, I can't believe that you guys have...
And the entire NBA crew.
Yeah. That I can understand.
Shaq and Charles. Wait, so you don't care that Shaq and Charles
It's their Barkley? Job. It's their job. You know, like, that show's fun. I understand having fun at it. But I saw LeBron doing that last night. I'm like, dude, you didn't make the playoffs. You didn't even make the play-in tournament, loser. You are a loser on that team. They had more firepower than just about any team, especially that same Minnesota Timberwolves team. And there you are laughing at a guy getting excited. I mean, it's people like that. It's Russell Westbrook who would get annoyed with Patrick Beverly for playing intense defense against him. Like, there's so many people that you can point to and say, like, they don't like Patrick Beverly. Yeah, because they don't have the heart or the hustle that guy does. And I know that that's a cliche, but whatever. That's why I've always loved Patrick Beverly. Like, he is a family member.
Yeah, we can tell. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we end the show with some garbage time. That's next.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Victor.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Wait, what is this song?
It's the theme song to The Young and the Restless.
Oh.
You ready? You ready for the big one?
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming.
We were talking earlier about soap operas.
It's a fantastic theme song. It just builds and it builds and it builds. And then they like show basically like little zoom in shots of every single person on the show.
Paul really knows it.
I have no shame. It's weird because I'm musically challenged, but I have a bunch of songs that have just been stuck in my head and rattling around for years and years.
It's a nice melancholy theme song. I've never seen a soap opera, not a single second.
I've watched. They'll be on at the gym every now and then, and I try to watch. I'm like, what's going on here?
Grey's Anatomy is not a soap opera, is it?
I don't think so. Not quite. No.
I watched a couple seasons of Grey's Anatomy and had to stop when Katherine Heigl was having sex with the ghost.
What?
It just got weird.
Wait
Danny,
a second.
Rest
okay.
In peace. All right, now it's time for a new segment, Garbage Time, the last segment of our show where we go through some of the biggest stories of the day that we didn't get to during the show, little tidbits here and there, and one of them does directly involve the Texans. The Texans are signing a corner. This is something you were talking about how they need some help there. They are signing Steven Nelson, and he's a veteran starter.
Well, and of course—
2 years, 10 milli.
Very Texans, two-year deal. That's all they do. Look, this better not be the last move. And based off of what we heard from Lovie Smith, whether it was at the NFL Combine, where he talked about what he's looking for in a cornerback, a guy who can tackle, a guy who is a ball hawk, a guy who can score with the ball in his hands, and also what he said a couple of days ago at his press conference, where like we can't play the defense that we want to play without a really good corner. Steven Nelson is not the answer, but everyone should be on notice. Everyone in that room, they weren't good. And Lovie Smith, I mean, if you're calling out essentially a position group, we weren't good enough at the position last year, then moves like this are important. I'm not expecting much out of him. You definitely can do better. But I would have to assume that Steven Nelson's probably pretty high up on the totem pole of Texans cornerbacks
already. Yeah, I mean, Desmond King, Lonnie Johnson Jr., Tavier Thomas, Jimmy Moreland. It is a depressing position group.
It is right now.
But this is a good stopgap. I mean, this is a good.
I hope I'm not excited about it. It's more I'm like I hope that they don't look at this and say, okay, well we don't necessarily need to go after a corner with one of those first two picks, because I think they should. If that's something that Lovie Smith prioritizes, okay, I guess you could go after a pass rusher or something like that early on, and maybe a hit, and maybe you find somebody to build the trenches with. But I there's a part of me that thinks, okay, well, what if he can find someone like, I believe Peanut Tillman played for Lovie Smith back in the day. I could be wrong.
A little throwback there.
I could be wrong on the actual time that he was there, but I just, and now he's an FBI agent, which is pretty cool for him.
That is nice.
Yeah, Peanut Tillman was there with the Bears for basically Lovie Smith's entire run in Chicago. And I mean, that guy was a hell of a corner. You know, he knew how to force fumbles. He was a first team all pro. He's a hell of a player. And if you can find someone like that, I would be super excited to find someone like that.
Meanwhile, some drama last night at Clippers Timberwolves that did not involve Patrick Beverley. A woman glued herself to the court. Yes, you heard that right. A woman was protesting eggs, and she was, I think, with PETA, and took Elmer's glue and put it on her hand and tried to glue herself to the court. So Allie LaForce, who was the courtside reporter, wife of former Astro Joe Smith as well, did some investigating. She wore a shirt. The woman that glued herself to the court wore a shirt that said, quote, Glenn Taylor roasts animals alive.
Oh.
She was referring to an egg farm that Glenn Taylor, who, by the way, doesn't even own the team anymore, has an egg farm that he has that recently had to kill chickens because of the bird flu outbreak that has been happening.
Oh, well.
A lot of layers to this story, but a woman put Elmer's glue on her hand and tried to glue herself to the court.
I mean, they're birds. Like, who cares? Are birds real? Am I mad? Am I a bad person for not caring about what happens to birds?
It's the fact that she didn't know that Glenn Taylor sold the team.
Yeah, there's that.
So
she's a little out of it. Sean Mays behind the glass. What, do you have a thought?
Yeah, one, A, yeah, birds. I mean, has the chicken, when's the last time a chicken's died of like old age or something? I feel like they're just made to be eaten now.
Yeah,
they're made to make sandwiches. And number two, does she know what glue is made out of?
Totally.
Horses.
It is.
Right?
Really, really weird for,
literally on the,
for PETA to be picking their spots on what animal means more. It's speciesism, to be honest.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true. That's true. But I believe in speciesism and mammals here, birds there, pooping on my car all the time. Like, what does a bird do?
Had a goose attack my, I was wearing a bun while I was running. And apparently this, like, goose thought that it was a nest and attacked me. It was very scary.
That would be terrible. Geese are big. Turkeys are scary too. Like, if you've ever seen a couple of in Massachusetts, they're just all over the place. There'll be like three or four of them, and they'll gang up on you.
And they
you.
Have teeth.
Yeah, and they have. I'll give them this. They have tremendous cojones on that front. She did this wrong. Like, if you're gonna glue yourself to the floor, it's gonna be really difficult for that to actually set in. So what she should have done, she should have handcuffed herself to something and then swallowed the key. Because that would have taken longer and maybe somebody would have actually been able to see the shirt as opposed to being like just taken off like right away.
Outside the box.
Well, I mean, if you want to make a statement, make a statement. Gluing yourself to the court, that's terrible. You should have gone streaking and had some paint on you or something like that, or worn a t-shirt and gone onto the court. Like, super gluing yourself to the court, people aren't going to be able to see what you actually have on your shirt if you're doing that, you know?
On further garbage time discussions, you put this in there. There's an issue that keeps happening on public planes.
Oh, my God.
Guys, got to calm down.
Vanessa, this has happened twice in a week. And amazingly, I don't think either of these happened on Spirit Airlines. Last week, it was on Southwest, where a man on a flight from Seattle to Phoenix took himself to Happy Town, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times over the course of a flight. And took a look at the actual amount of time it takes to fly from Phoenix to Seattle. It's a 2.5-hour flight. So this is like once every 30 minutes, essentially. So you have that. And then there was a flight. This one I really can't get. So a 76-year-old man on a flight from Newark to Boston, which is like an hour-long flight, he did the same thing. And there was a woman next to him, and he put his hand on her leg. And she basically told him to stop eventually, and he just looked out the window, like trying to be subtle about it. Guys, why, and I would just say anybody, the complete evaporation of plain decorum that we have seen over the last 3 years in the pandemic is unbelievable. Whether it was all the fights that we were seeing at airports or fights that we were seeing on planes or people getting mad at each other over masks and stuff.
Or just stop standing up when the plane lands, too.
That one's annoying. Yeah.
God.
Do you know what I used to do? Because I always sit in the aisle. If someone starts, like, walking forward and they're being a big jerk about it, like, sometimes, like, I'll just get up in the aisle and just be like, all right, I'm just going to stand here and stretch.
People have no etiquette.
Because you're supposed to let the rows in front of you go first, and you come out in orderly fashion. When somebody cuts through the whole thing, they're usually pushing through. I'm with you. We've lost airline decorum. I mean, obviously, back in the day, we were wearing suits on airplanes. Like, everyone
and
dressed
smoking
fancy.
Smoking cigars, and yeah, very Mad Men.
That must have sucked, actually. Imagine being on an airplane, and like, it's just cigarette smoke throughout it. Like,
awful.
You're just coughing up a lung the whole time.
Meanwhile, the Houston team that will not be in Houston, the USFL Houston Gamblers, released a new mascot.
Yeah.
You can head to their Twitter page to see it. It's basically a guy in a cowboy hat with an ace card. And they are asking people what they should name their new mascot for the Houston Gamblers that will not be in Houston.
Bodie McBoatface.
Ugh.
I like that. Bodie McBoatface.
Does it matter? Especially with the XFL coming back. No one's going to care about USFL.
You think so?
No, I don't think. No, a USFL happening in Birmingham?
Yeah, but
there's going to be no local flavor.
I would assume next year that both the XFL and the USFL are going to be in the same state. Maybe the USFL doesn't even last a year. Which is actually very possible, given that there are no crowds that are taking place. Yeah, he looks too much like the Dallas mascot. Like, they both are like cowboys, like, except for this one.
I was wondering where I had seen him before. That's a good point.
I don't know what the Dallas team name is, but they look pretty similar. Except for He's far too cocky for a gambler, too. Like, if you're a gambler, you need to have a poker face on. You need to wear sunglasses. And his face is just like, yeah, I got... I may have been doing some things in the bathroom to get me excited for
this
hand.
Looks like he's seen some things. 0061 on the text line says Paul had to watch soap operas because he couldn't see MTV. Can you confirm?
It's not wrong. Well, I mean, when I was young, too, and my mom, who was staying home to take care of me, she would have on television. She would, you know, she was in control of the TV. So if I was upstairs and the TV was on, I just remember she had it on. But remember, for most people, and I didn't have cable for a while. For most people, like, that was really the only options that you had in the middle of the day. Because there was a soap opera on every single one of the network TV shows. I think it's just incredible that they would do a television show every single day.
Right.
Like, that's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. 3826. Okay, this is helpful. Vanessa, Texas has an ID people that don't drive cars can apply for instead of a driver's license that's used for an ID.
So make sure you don't do that.
Ed, thank you.
Just don't do... Yeah, you're fine. You just don't... Just say, I want a driver's license.
Okay, so the driver's license... And with the driver's license comes an automatic ID.
Yes, because it's the driver's license and the ID are the same thing.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
I'm confused by how confused you are by it. I'm like, am I missing something here? I don't even know.
You got to explain it to me like I'm five. 0025 says you got to call the USFL mascot Ace. That's not bad.
Yeah, that probably works. Ace.
All right.
Lucky would work, maybe?
Lucky, Lucky's cute, yeah. Killer Bee's up next. You got Joel Blank. You got Jeremy Branham taking you 12-3, and they'll, of course, be followed by the bench. Guys, thanks for tuning in to Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 at 92.5, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.